You know what's fun is that we get to be together. And I love you. I love seeing your face, and thank you for all the places that you could have gone. You joined us this morning. And I believe that God has something significant for us as we're going to spend some time unpacking our feelings in this next year. That's a little bit weird, but I want to talk to you about some of the things that we're going to feel in this next year and how I believe that God wants to help us, because we're going to face some stuff and we need to be prepared. And I think what I want to share today is going to help you in that preparedness for what is about to come. Amen. So the title of my message is Things That You Will Feel in This Year. And let me pray for us. Father, we just thank you for the opportunity to celebrate your presence. God, I thank you for every man, woman, and child that has joined us this morning. That God, I hear you saying to me, they have yet to even see the good things that you have for them. And so, Lord, I thank you that we are walking into a year of abundance. And how do we step into that is by getting into your presence. In you, we discover abundance. And so, Father, we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. One of the things that I really enjoy is I love it when people give me tidbits, information before I go somewhere and experience something, right? If you've ever gotten like the lowdown of the restaurant that nobody goes to, but you meet somebody and they're like, man, you got to go here and you got to order this, and you go and you order that and your mind is blown. And you're like, man, I'm so grateful for those kind of little tidbits. My sister loves Yelp. Whenever we go to a restaurant, she's always looking at all the photos because she wants to know before she goes, what's the best thing on the menu, because if we're going to go eat somewhere, she doesn't want to waste that money or that time, right? Hello, that's what I'm saying. Someone said to me the other day, like, are you back eating bread? And I'm like, you know, you kind of get to a point where you start going, okay, the bread's got to be mind-blowing for me to, like, waste all those calories, right? So, like now I'm thinking about it, man. Now, if it's my mom's goopy rolls, I'm undoing it. It doesn't matter. I'm going to just go for it. When I was back in Seattle as a kids pastor, and then I also led all of the activities for our youth camps, and we would have like, you know, 300 to 500 young people show up at these camps, and I was in charge of all the activities. And I remember one year they came to me and they said, we want you to build chariots for our kids to race in. And so we kind of devised it and had all these kind of ropes where the bigger kids would pull the chariots, and they wanted, you know, on two wheels, and they wanted to put like 3 middle schoolers in the chariot, and we had a huge field where they're going to race around. And so I went out and I loved building, and I kind of, you know, went to some bike shops and got some bicycle wheels and built it all with 2x4s. And this thing was huge, and it weighed like 120 pounds, and it was awesome, right? And I had devised it all in my mind. I had kind of worked it all out and thought it was perfect. And then we get to the actual event, and one of the things that I didn't realize was, number one, the sheer weight of the things when you added 3 middle schoolers on it. And then I hung buckets with water balloons on the outside of it, and so it was an accident waiting to happen. And then the other thing was, is I had created a PVC pipe frame that was actually holding it steady from falling forward. Well, when you have all of that weight and the team that's pulling slows down, the PVC pipe breaks, and the kids inside of it, the middle schoolers, go flying out of it. And while this event is taking place, I'm watching as kids are flying everywhere, and they're coming up with blood and dirt in their face. And I've realized I've created death traps. And one of the things I didn't realize was that the bicycle tires, when you're going around a corner, do not have I don't know what the proper word is, but tension to not bend, right? So as soon as the chariot went sideways and all of that weight, the tires buckled underneath it, which launched the middle schoolers into oblivion, right? And so I'm watching all this take place, and then, you know, after the event, and we, you know, patched up kids' mouths and got all the dirt off. And, you know, when you're leading those kind of events, you're like, oh, it's no big deal. Oh, just wipe that off. Oh, you're going to be fine. I've seen worse, you know. And so I remember going back and that night at dinner, you know, as all of the leaders of the camp come to me and go like, what have you done? You know, you've killed children. and maim them. And they're like, we're going to have to shut the whole thing down. And then kids are like terrified of the next day. They heard about what took place. And they're supposed to do that event the next day. And they're like, we really don't want to. And so that night I had to go to Home Depot and I spent hours trying to rebuild this thing. And I actually rebuilt them. And so from that year on, because I rebuilt it and everything kind of worked out, every time there was a new group of people running the activities, all of the guys would say, you need to go talk to Ryan. And it wasn't because I was really awesome at it. It was because I experienced how to not do things, right? I was the one guy that broke stuff and hurt children. And so they're like, you need to go learn from this guy, right? I appreciate information like that. And I wish that someone at the bike shop would have said, by the way, if you're building this for a chariot, it's not going to work, right? Like, that would have been helpful, you know? But I probably didn't even tell them that. I just said, I need 20 bicycle tires. And like, that's weird. Okay, here you go, you know? And I this morning, I want to take us into a passage of Scripture where this exact thing is taking place. No, not chariots and people dying. But Moses talking to Joshua before he goes, before he dies, before he passes. And for those of you who don't know, Moses was the leader of a nation called Israel who had been enslaved for hundreds of years. And Moses was called by God to lead them out of slavery and take them into his promised land, the place that he had deemed where they could live and flourish in his presence. And so Moses was that guy, and he was a little bit reluctant. And in that 40-year span, a lot took place. A lot of mistakes, a lot of issues, a lot of things Moses experienced. And so when I was reading kind of Moses in his conversation with Joshua, I was expecting, you know, like the little secret nuggets, like, you know, be careful not to hit the rock when God says speak to it, you know, that happened, and God was like, you disobeyed me, like, just avoid rocks in general, you know, maybe don't ever leave the Israelites because they get a little weird and they build golden calves, you know, just always stay with them, like, here's some little tidbits to help you, Joshua, because the Israelites are weird in this season, and they just kind of tend to wander. And that's why I want to bring you to, because it's really interesting what Moses says to Joshua. And it's in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verse 7 through 8. Then Moses called for Joshua, and all of Israel watched. And he said to him, be strong and courageous, for you will lead these people into the land that the Lord swore to their ancestors he would give them. You are the one who will divide it among them as heir, as their grants of land. Verse 8, and this is kind of where I want to highlight. Don't be afraid or discouraged, for the Lord will personally go ahead of you. He will be with you. He will never fail you, nor abandon you. Now, what's interesting in verse 8, and that I'm really curious about what Moses does, is he pairs these feelings that we're going to feel, and he gives the answer to those feelings. And he doesn't give the answer with like the seven things you need to do, or you need to pray more, or you need to read your Bible more, because we all know those things are true, or, you know, you need to take care of this or do this. He pairs it with the reality of God and his presence. And I think many times we think God as the little groundhog in that game where we've got the little bunker and we're trying to figure out where God is, and he pops up here and we, oh shoot, I missed him again. And we feel like we're constantly trying to chase after this, where is God? Instead of where is Waldo? And I love how Moses talks to Joshua about, you're going to feel some stuff, because I felt it. I know what kind of emotions you're going to feel, but here's the answer. And I want to spend some time in that this morning. And number one, the first emotion that Moses begins to describe with this characteristic of God is discouragement. Discouragement is interesting, because many times discouragement comes in a moment we weren't even really prepared for. I think that's why discouragement can be so real and so overwhelming. You get a bill in the mail. You get a notice that your job is over. Someone tells you that they don't like you anymore. whatever it is, you find yourself in this place of incredible discouragement. And I find that God doesn't just try to give us a pep talk out of discouragement. He says this, and this is what Moses tells Joshua. He says, this is God. He is the God who goes before you. Because today, you got a surprise. But I just want you to know that tomorrow, he's already working on your behalf. And you need to know this, because there are going to be times when you are surprised today, but you need to know that God is already working on your behalf tomorrow. He's the God that works the night shift while you're sleeping in bed, thinking about all that went on that day. He's working on your behalf. And so you need to know that the discouragement might come, but God is the one that's working on your behalf. I love how Moses says, listen, this is going to be real. You're going to feel these feelings, but you need to know, this is what I've experienced with God. That He goes before you. When you find yourself in a place that you've never been before, Joshua, Expression Church, you need to know that it's very important that you realize the character of God. The character of God is that he's already gone before you. So it's just like when Jesus was talking to his disciples and he had spent some time with them and they were getting comfortable in this season of being with him. And he was like, you know, I got to go. I'm going to have to leave. And the reason why I have to leave, and they're like, oh, and they didn't understand the plan and everything, that he actually wasn't leaving them, but he was going to die on the cross for all humanity. But he starts talking about all this, and that he's not going to be in physical body, but he will never leave them. He's going to be with them. His spirit is now going to dwell in them. But it was this moment of panic. He says, don't let your hearts be troubled, for I go and prepare a place for you. Emmanuel, God with us, is the description of Jesus. And Jesus says to his followers, us, don't let your hearts be troubled, for I go and prepare what you need the day before. And it doesn't mean that it's going to be easy ice skating the whole way, but he's already before you, so you can lean on the fact that what is happening in that day isn't going to surprise him. Whew. I needed that. I am going to prepare a place for you. The second emotion that's going to take place or experience that we're going to feel in those days ahead is unbelief. And what's paired with unbelief is this sense of being alone. You see, unbelief is really what we're talking about, as people that don't believe. And so as a believer, many times we find ourselves in a place where we're surrounded by people that don't believe. They don't believe what we believe, whether it be at our school, right? We leave church and we feel like we're with people that are for us, and then we go to school and it feels so different. Our job, maybe even your family. You might be the one that comes and you want to pray at dinner for your family, and those that are there kind of make fun of you, or here we go again, right? And you find yourself in this place where our tendency as believers is to get out of that place where we feel we're the only one. Because it feels alone. And nobody wants to feel alone. Nobody wants to feel like they're the only one waving the Jesus flag. I am the only one. And so what I love about Moses is he tells Joshua, listen, there's going to be times when the Israelites are crazy. And they refuse to believe what God wants to do. And you, as the leader, feel alone. And what do you need to know in the midst of that experience is what he pairs with that. He says, this is who God is. I will be with you. Why? Why does he declare that? Because you need to know that you're not alone. And not only are you not alone, that me and you make the difference in the room. So I'm actually putting you in places where there are unbelievers and people that don't want to hear what you have to say. But when you add me and you together, we become the game changers in the room. Hello! It's not your new outfit from Zara or Target or wherever it is, or Nordstrom's or Saks or The Rack. Although it feels good when you got a new outfit, trust me, I know. But here's what he's saying. Listen, when you know that God is with you, you can step into any environment, even if it's hostile, and be able to walk through it because he declares, God himself declares, his nature is, I will be with you. Which gives you confidence and boldness to stay. To be the one that knows that God is with you and he's going to help you each step of the way. David said this in the Psalm 23, even though when I walk through the darkest valley, I will not be afraid, for you are close beside me. Your rod and your staff protect and comfort me. And he says, you prepare a feast for me in the presence of my enemies. That feast is not so that you can go neener, neener, neener. That feast is so that you have enough that you can give away, because he's with you. You are living in abundance, which means in those moments where people are hostile against you, you can be generous. Come on, there's not enough of you getting excited. I'm sweating up here. This is good preaching. Need some coffee or something. It reminds me of the story of Peter, and he's in the boat. And there's a storm, and it's very similar to our life, right? Where Jesus is walking on water, and, you know, we're in the boat. And Jesus and Peter start having this dialogue, and Peter goes, hey, if that's you, call me out on the water. I have that conversation with Jesus all the time. And so Peter gets out of the boat, and he begins to walk on the water, and in the midst of the storm, he begins to sink. And what I love about this is that many of us find ourselves in that place where we've stepped out, and we feel very alone in that moment. And what I love about Moses' response, that feeling that you have when doubt comes, because you will have moments of doubt. You will doubt things in your life. You'll even doubt sometimes God. And this actually was what happened to Peter. As he was doubting God, as he was doubting Jesus, he began to sink. But Jesus didn't look over him and go, ha ha, I told you so. Because I think that's how sometimes we treat each other. You know, we always find it to have the best opportunity to tell somebody, I told you so. I told you that the wheels weren't going to work. And I love Jesus' response to Peter as he reaches down. And the Bible says he grabbed him immediately. And in that immediate moment, he pulled him up. And the Bible says they were both back in the boat instantly in safety. That's the God in the moments of doubt who says he will never. Oh, did I skip? No, I'm on the right one? Okay, good. I just looked down for a minute and felt like I didn't even know where I was. He will never fail you. That's the word that Moses paired with doubt. Is that he will never fail you. So when you feel that moment of doubt and where am I and what's going on, he says, but I won't fail you. That's my character. So it's okay that you have doubt. It's okay that you're going to walk through those moments. But just know, I won't fail you. Whew. So you realize that the presence of God creates change in every moment because he won't fail you. Even though you feel like you're out in that water by yourself. That was three. Sorry. So here's how it goes. Number one is discouragement. Number two is unbelief. And number three is doubt. And how God how Moses paired that idea of overcoming doubt was he said, he will never fail you. Number four, last and final one, fear. Sometimes fear can feel very irrational. And many times when you're gripped by fear, people look at you and go, that makes no sense, right? But fear is a very real feeling. And fear can grip you and keep you from stepping into what you were designed to step into. And I love how Moses begins to address this idea that Joshua, you're going to experience tremendous fear in moments where you feel there's more against you than with you. That there's going to be moments where fear becomes real to you. But you've got to realize something. God himself said, he will not abandon you. So therefore, you can step into with confidence knowing that the God I'm telling you about, this is the experience that I have had, that he, in the midst of your fear, will not abandon you. He's not going to get you out there and then go, sorry, I'm out. He says he will not abandon you. And this is important as Joshua begins to step into what God has for him, because fear will become a very part of his everyday life. Fear, am I the right leader? Fear, is this going to work? Fear of, they seem way more intense. Fear, you want us to walk around the walls and do nothing? This is, I'm afraid for my own life. And yet God says, listen, I'm not going to get you out there and then skip town. I'm not a dad who was with you and then decided one day that I'm skipping out. Where you're left trying to figure out how to pick up the pieces. You have that experience enough, it keeps you from actually stepping out. Because you have this incredible grip of fear whenever you find yourself in a situation that you've experienced before with somebody. And so fear, we fear fear. We want to avoid fear. We want to avoid those fearful moments. And he's like, listen, I don't want you to avoid the situations that cause fear. I want you to know that I will not abandon you. He pairs these emotions that we'll fear in this next year with himself. And unless we understand that without him, we cannot move from this place. And so I love how Moses begins to put these things together, and where we would want some like practical steps on how to overcome fear in 2018, Moses says, listen, I could give you all of those, but the greatest one is you realizing who he is. Because when you realize who he is, it'll change the way you think. And therefore, he says you can be courageous and bold. How? I don't feel courageous and bold. But the closer you get to knowing who he is, it changes how you walk in this life. So when fear, unbelief, doubt, a discouragement comes, the closer you get to the presence of him, knowing he's not going to leave you. He's not Waldo. He's not the little rodent that pops up that you're trying to find, because that's what we think. If this thing was a social experiment, it would not be based on this. Because look at Romans. Romans, as we close, this is what happens. In Romans 8, it says, I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels or demons, neither our fears for today or our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below. Indeed, nothing in all creation will be ever able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus. This is crazy! If Christianity was a social experiment so that we could tweak people's behavior, started by the governments in the back in the day, you know, they decided to come up with religion, then we would not put this in our Bible. We would make sure that it was that little groundhog that came up, and every time you do something wrong, we pull the God away from you, and then, oh, you're a good boy. Oh, he loves you so much. That would be the kind of social experiment that we as people who like to wreck other people would create. But this thing was not created by man. It was created by a God that said, I'm with you. And I'm never leaving you. And you might find yourself in situations where discouragement and fear and doubt begin to arise. But the closer you get to me, the more you realize I am not a fickle baby. And you can try your worst, but I'm not going anywhere. And your circumstances might come, but the more you understand my character, I'm sticking with you. Yeah, we may have to walk through some pretty weird stuff together. You may have gotten yourself in some pretty strange places, but that does not mean I'm afraid of that. I'm sticking with you. Let's walk through it together. I'm going to give you the confidence and the courage to take one step at a time. But you stick close to me. In this year of abundance, how do we get there? We realize that it's in His presence. And we realize that His presence is not fickle. That He, because of Jesus, wants to abide. He wants to stay. And because He stays, it eradicates fear. It eradicates doubt. It destroys unbelief. And it gives us great confidence to be in places of unbelief. So tonight, today, wherever we are, would you engage the presence of the Lord today? The band is going to sing one last song, and as I've been praying for you, and today I have felt the overwhelming love of God for you. And I never want you to just have a realization in your mind of His love. He's here today to demonstrate that love as you open up your life to His presence. And then, like Joshua, He can give you the confidence for tomorrow because He's already there.